Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Tony Adams was your captain.
He was useless. Got him out of all sorts of trouble every week.
You're not the first person. One of your defensive colleagues has also hinted at that. But what was your impression of Tony Adams? First impressions, I mean, you talk about being this gangly kid that turned up. Tony Adams was the same, wasn't he?
Tony was obviously, he was captain when I arrived. I'm trying to work out, I was 23, so he'd be sort of about, I don't know what he was, 19, 20 when I arrived. But already you could see the presence of him in a dressing room. He was a lad. He was very young in lots of ways, but really mature in other ways. So he had a bit of both, and he was very strong. Again, that gangly sort of type of player, but incredibly intelligent. Again, positionally was his big strength. And in the early days, wasn't given as much credit, I think, as he deserved. And he went on to become a really good footballing centre back. And he was like that when he was younger. And he got a bad nickname because he was seen to be awkward at times. But he would be my number one alongside if I was to pick a team. He would be my captain, no doubt about that.
How did he develop the role of captain, because he did it for so many years, didn't he? Was he a natural leader?
He was a natural leader. He led by example. You knew exactly what you're going to get from Tony, 100% every single game. Wasn't the best trainer in the world, and again, he'll probably agree with that. Quite awkward in training, didn't always like the sort of training hours. His social life is well documented. He had other things going on apart from his football. But in the early days, he led by example, and then he learnt the art of leadership really as well. Although he was a natural leader, but he learnt how to coax players into agreeing that this was the right way of doing things. And with his experience that he gained over the years, he went on to become a really all-rounder as far as a leader of men. And with his ability on the ball and on the pitch, but also with his intelligence on and off the pitch mentally.
Players need their captain to be strong, especially after defeats or during difficult times. Was Tony that sort of captain? What did he do? How would he deal with it? How would he motivate players in the difficult times?
It's funny because he shouted a lot. And in the dressing room before the game, he was very vocal. As you can imagine, banging his head against the wall and doing strange things, but really up for the game. But we joked about it, during his dark times when he was drinking a lot. He would come, we wouldn't see him most of the week, and then he would turn up on a Friday and do a five-a-side, and then we would play on the Saturday, and he would have an absolute nightmare. And me, Nigel, and Boldy or Martin Keown would be covering for him during the game and getting him out of trouble, and it'd be hard work filling in the gaps for him because he wasn't quite on it because of what was going on off the pitch. And then 5 minutes before the end of the game, the announcer would come on at Highbury and say, "And today's man of the match is Tony Adams." And we'd all look at each other and go, because he was a club legend. The fans loved him and he could get away with murder. But we didn't mind because we knew next week he would get us out of trouble, and that's how we were back in that day. That defence was looked after each other, but it was difficult times, and we speak. Tony's a really good friend of mine now, and we talk about those days a lot. And it's part of his ongoing recovery that he can talk about that sort of stuff.
You have many years together in the team. Is there one moment though that's for you sort of sums up how he was as a captain? It can be on the pitch, it can be off the pitch, but something you think, that's what I remember from his playing days.
There's many. But there's one, and I've talked about it recently, and it's quite emotional for me because it was right at the end of our careers together, and we were, Tony was I looked up to him as a leader of men, and I'm sure, he looked at me as being part of his defence, if you like, but I'm not sure which game it was. It was right near the end of the season, 2002. Tony was struggling with an injury. We were just about to retire together that season, so we were ticking off the days because it was tough. I was 38, he was 35, 36, carrying a couple of injuries, and I got him out of trouble in a game. The ball went over the top, I sweeped up behind him and knocked it back to Dave Seaman and ran up the pitch, and as I ran up the pitch he called over to me and said, "Dicko," and I sort of turned around and looked at him, and he just pointed at me and he said, "You're one hell of a fullback, you are." And I sort of, makes me feel quite emotional thinking about it. And I sort of went, wow, Tony Adams has said that I'm a hell of a fullback. And that really touched me because, I was always one of those players I had to work very hard at my game to stay at that level. And I always kind of thought the self-doubt in me that someone's going to tap me on the shoulder and go, "Time now, come on. You've won a competition, you're playing for Arsenal, but you've got to leave now." And I always had that feeling, so it drove me on to be better and try and stay in the team as long as I could. And 619 games, I didn't do bad. But that one moment of him saying, "You're one hell of a fullback," was worth, gold dust to me. And that was right at the end. I said, "Why didn't you say that 10 years ago?"
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.